Welcome to Top 5, a show where we dine, we wine, and sometimes we drink a little wine as well, I guess.
We
I don't know.
Define.
This is Top 5. This week on Top 5, oh, the house. The house is filled with the smell of pumpkin pies cooking. Turkeys getting roasted. Oh, it is the Thanksgiving holiday. And that means it's time for listener suggestion, Top 5 food and drink combinations. And one of them on my list is going to be quite controversial, according to my wife.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Top 5.
Because it's not an actual drink.
It's... Well, we'll just have to wait till we get there.
We'll get there when we get there.
Yes. Matthew, why don't we start with you? Your top five. Your number five.
I don't know.
Food and drink combinations.
You got to be careful, because if you're too controversial, people will be yelling at you 3 years later. My number five is actually something that I discovered when I was relatively young. And this happened in, I want to say, the early 80s. I had been... at that time, living with my grandparents, and my grandmother had a rule about food, and it was, hey, what's cheapest? We bought that. And so she would get the bags of generic potato chips that were just basically grease and salt grease. And I discovered this thing called Ruffles. They were these sour cream and cheddar flavored chips, and they were amazing. And they're covered with this cheese dust that is truly epic, and I think may actually be gold ground down and turned into this beautiful thing. But I discovered a trick with Ruffles. When you're eating Ruffles, when you bite into them, you know, you get that mouthful of the cheese dust and the powder and the potato. But if you take a nice little sip of really good cold milk, your whole mouth is filled with the cheese equivalent of chocolate milk. So my number five is a bag of Ruffles and some really nice, really cold milk, because you can get that wonderful sort of that sensation of having the macaroni and cheese sauce that's really good. Or when I was a kid, my mother would just cover all the vegetables with cheese so we'd eat them. In retrospect, my adult obesity is actually probably not that really surprising. But I recommend to you right now, faithful spoilerites, Rodrigo and Steven and Ashley, if you're listening, hi. Go get yourself a bag of Ruffles. Go get yourself a bottle of milk. Just sit on a curb somewhere. Just sit on a curb. If you can't do that, just stand over your sink. Stand over the sink in your kitchen and just stare at the electric clock. While you eat them, you take two tips at a time.
It's just going to be like, just focus on the clock. Just focus on the ticking. Don't worry about that taste in your mouth. Oh,
just stare at the electric clock.
Okay.
It's amazing,
the clock is ticking.
Steven.
The clock is ticking.
You can't do that with every chip, because sometimes you get a real metallic kind of back flavor. Or like,
so what is a
many
really
of the
good
Lay's
milk?
Chips are,
what is a really good milk?
Well, I don't like milk fat. So like full fat milk, I would say stay away from.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a 1% or a 0.5% milk.
So water with
really,
a little bit of milk in it.
Really? No. 0.5% milk is not water with milk in it. Powdered milk made out of the box or in the bag if you're from Canada. Hi, Jessica. That is water with milk in it. I'm talking like a skim milk is fine. If you go above about 2%, you might as well just be eating cheese.
Oh, man. Vitamin D fortified whole milk. That's the best way to go.
Don't ever drink that. If I need to chew my milk, Stephen, there's
milk.
Something wrong.
That is
too much.
Good milk. Good milk right there. Rodrigo, what do you have for number five?
That's what it is.
My number five also includes milk.
Does it have cheese?
It does not, because that's super gross.
Hey!
it's like, I like nachos with milk.
I mean, we had run into this before with something where Matthew was talking about eating cheese puffs with milk.
Yeah.
and specifically the part of the... Like, and there's no... I'm not judging... I'm not judging you for that. Everybody has these tastes that kind of develop, are probably partially genetic and also partially developed throughout your life. And they would seem disgusting to other people. You guys ever have a pickled egg?
I have.
Yeah, pickled eggs. I'm sorry. This is kind of a tangent, but pickled eggs combined literally the worst aspects of eggs and pickles.
Sure, you're absolutely right.
That's why they're great.
Let's soak this egg in brine for 6 years, and people will buy it for a dollar.
I mean, it really is. If you ask people, you know, what do you like about an egg? They might say like, oh, it's that combination of like that fatty yolk and the, you know, maybe like a crispy white or whatever, however you like your eggs. And it's like, no, it's like a boiled egg and like, and then like soaked in brine for 1,000 years. And then you eat it and you're like, my God, this is disgusting. But you just keep eating it. And then you reach for another one. It's, I can't explain it. Let's get back on track. That's okay. That's kind of how I feel about Matthew's number five.
All right.
It's like, I'm not judging it because I've been there. So my number five, it's a lot more pleasant. This
is a pickled
what,
egg or than the cheese milk?
Well, certainly than the pickled egg. Again,
I have a
no
question,
judgment
though.
About
really, before we get to number five, I have a question that I'm dying to ask Matthew.
Okay.
Would you drink cheese milk? I mean, if they had like the
cheese flavored milk?
Yeah.
No.
Like if you had the mac and cheese powder, would you just pour it into your milk and drink it that way?
I don't know. I'd have to try it. My problem with like chocolate milks or strawberry milks is that there's too much of the chocolate. Like I don't necessarily like just a chocolate milk over the counter. I'll do like a bottle of quick because you can control it and you'll be like, okay, however much I'm going to put in, I'll pour in the milk and I'll put in some quick into the thing. But I don't know. It would really depend on it because part of the pleasantness of it is the fact that it is liquid. But you have the chip or you have the kind of the crunchiness aspect to it. So
okay. All right.
I think it's the combination of texture and flavor.
All right.
I got a follow up. Matthew, do you like malts?
Malts?
Yeah.
Like malted milk?
Yeah. Like a milkshake, but with like malted milk. Yeah.
I used to enjoy a chocolate malt, but as a rule, like malt things are kind of overwhelming for me. I can't eat Whoppers. And if I go, I'd rather have like a milkshake than a malt.
Yeah. Cause there's like this like salty butteriness to a malt. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if maybe you enjoyed that because yeah, it seems that like this cheese is kind of like, especially since you like the more, skim milk. I was wondering if it was like, you find like basically the whey side of the milk sweet and overwhelming and you want like just salt in your milk basically.
Well, here's a challenge for you, Matthew. Take that mac and cheese powder mix it in with your milk and see what it tastes like. I don't say you have to chug the whole thing.
It will
just
like
drink a little bit of
cheese.
It
just taste a little bit of it, and if you don't like it, you can always just pour it into a pan and just make mac and cheese.
Yeah,
because that's
actually
how you
what
make
I'm gonna
mac and
do
cheese.
Is I'm going to pour it into a box and I'm going to mail it to Steven.
Yeah, go ahead. Pour it into a box and mail it, and we'll see what your postal carrier says.
Put it in a Ziploc bag in
All
a
right.
box.
We have been off track far too long. Let us get to Rodrigo's number five.
Number five.
My number five is what little Mexican grandmas eat. Exclusively, this is the only thing they eat. They take sweet bread. In this case, my favorite is a concha. If you guys are familiar with it, I think they have a name in English, but I don't know what it is. This bread basically looks like a dome, and it has sort of like brick-like segments of sugar on top of it. If you've ever seen it, you can. Nowadays, you can actually find this in gas stations, which is fantastic. So you take that, you dip it in your milk, and then you eat the bread, and it's all soggy and milky. And then after you're done, you drink the milk, which is now packed with sugar, or more sugar, because milk has plenty of sugar in it anyway. And it is, it's something that that I've had since I was a kid. I used to have like café con leche, or like just kind of milk and coffee mix.
Yeah.
And I would do that and it tasted great, but I usually wouldn't drink it afterwards because I hate coffee. Like that's kind of the only way that I can get through a cup of coffee is if there's so much sugar and cream in it that I'm basically eating a coffee cake. Not a coffee cake, but a cake. You know what I'm talking about. Sure. Anyway, my number five, concha and milk.
All right. Yeah. There you go. My number
five. The only time I've ever seen them with any other name is sometimes I'll see something and there's different things they call it, but sometimes they'll call them a cobblestone.
Yeah, I want to say there is like a more or less agreed upon name for marketing because in I've seen it in gas stations and it's like every bread is like a polvorón is like a pecan sandy.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Right. So it's like, yeah, for marketing purposes, I think companies have been like, okay, we're going to call this like a brick road or like a. Roundy sugar boy or something.
Roundy sugar boy. That's what's going to happen to you if you eat too many of them, probably.
Yep.
All right. My number five does have milk in it, but it's like just an additive. And actually, I could probably have it without, right? I enjoy a nice hot chai tea. And if I can get a chai tea latte whipped up really nice and good, I will drink that as a morning beverage. It has a little bit too much caffeine or something in it that kicks it up a little bit for me, so I can't drink it by itself or else I start to get agitated. So I usually have something to carb me down a little bit, right? So they kind of offset one another. And the best thing that I found, the best combination of chai tea latte, the food, is a toasted bagel. Doesn't matter what kind of bagel, as long as it's not an onion bagel or an everything bagel. I'm totally fine with a plain egg bagel, right? Mm-hmm. I like cinnamon, the cinnamon raisin bagels. I like the poppy seed bagel. I don't like the jalapeno bagel that much, but I'll eat it. But a nice toasted bagel and a chai tea latte are a perfect combo for me to start my day. Of course, it's got like 10,000 calories in it. It's not a great way to start your day if you plan on having anything else to eat. But my number five, great combination, and I've actually sat in a coffee shop, had a chai tea latte and a toasted bagel, and blogged from a coffee shop.
You're that guy.
Well, it's when I broke the window on my car, and so right next door to the place where they were repairing it was a coffee shop. So I was like, okay, I've got 2 hours to kill. I'll go in with my laptop, and I'll tappity-tap-tap, and I'll have a chai tea latte and a toasted bagel, please.
Now, the bagel... schmear wise, you just want the bagel by itself.
No, I mean, I enjoy it with cream cheese, but it has to be just like regular cream cheese. I don't like flavored cream cheeses or else butter, just straight up butter. I like it with butter is good too. So that's my topping choice. I don't want to put like Homer Simpson and his, rice cake where he's got like 15 different foods piled on top of it. Mm-hmm. Just a plain bagel is fine for me. I don't need egg on top of it. I don't need bacon. I don't need, 100 million other things. I'm pretty plain that way. But a nice bagel and chai tea latte, my number five.
Wow.
Yeah. Why? What's wrong with that? It's fine. Perfect.
Well, nothing's wrong with that. In fact,
it's a good way to start your day.
The reason I'm saying wow is because of my number four.
Oh, we're ready for our number fours. And Matthew, you have a number four.
I do. Probably 15 years ago now, I worked at a local television station.
Yeah.
And one of my associates was the morning anchor, and her name was Bobby, and she was a weirdo. But Bobby was addicted to Panera Bread. No, she was a weirdo. It's okay. And because of her, I would go to Panera Bread sometimes 3 or 4 times a week. Bobby was also gorgeous, but that's neither here nor there. And my number four is something that I get at the local Panera Bread. I get an iced mocha, which is kind of a frozen coffee chocolate drink, mostly chocolate. But it's kind of an almost a chocolate bitter chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not coffee, but it is frozen and it's icy. And what I get with that is a bagel with some sort of cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the mocha that's great is that it works with a sweet bagel. You can get like at Panera, what one of my friends calls the deadly crunch roll that is not a bagel, and she hates them and hates them and hates them. It's basically just like a little roll covered in a crunchy sugar tower. Or you can get my favorite. I get like an everything bagel with some vegetable cream cheese, and it still works with the iced mocha because it's not like a chocolate shake. It's kind of a coffee-ish drink, and it has almost a savory undertone to it. So you can mix it with whatever you feel like. But honestly, and you know, there are many women in my house who hate this and will testify to this. If I could, I would have Panera bagel and an iced mocha every morning for breakfast. I would go there. I used to go there regularly on Sundays until they redesigned the building, and now my wife hates it because you don't know where to stand. There's no longer a line. There's like four cash registers in a half circle, and it's all hippy-dippy milling about, and there's no order. But my number four is almost exactly the same as yours, except instead of that chai tea, I want something chocolatey, that iced mocha.
My wife loves the iced mocha lattes or whatever they're called with the chocolate and frozen and all that stuff.
They're so good.
There's a whole conversation we can probably have about coffee. I can't stand coffee for whatever reason, just never have grown used to it. And I know people love that stuff, but it's just something I can't get into. But the weird thing is I was standing trying to get a chai tea latte the other day, and there was a guy, a father, and his kid who was probably like 8 years old, maybe a little bit younger, maybe seven. She ordered a coffee, a straight up black coffee with milk. And I'm like, you think that's a wise choice for your kid? I know a lot of kids, you know, like 6, 7 years old are drinking like black coffee with lots of milk in it. I'm just like, wow, that's.
I mean, like, seriously, cafe con leche is a thing that people give to kids. And that's literally what that is. It's just black coffee and milk.
I don't know.
You know what? I can tell you, the widget loves coffee, has loved coffee for years. And if you're worried about stunting their growth, the child is 5'11".
I don't have a problem with my kid. He's already stunted in his growth.
She's 13 years old. She's nearly 6 feet tall, and she will steal your coffee.
Maybe that's why she's not 7 feet tall.
That could be.
Yeah, see, there you go.
So it's a good thing that you have been giving her coffee.
Yeah. I'll tell you why she's not 7 feet tall. Because Rodrigo was her dungeon master and wouldn't allow it.
Rodrigo, what do you have for number four?
My number four is a combination that really grows out of necessity more than anything. Mm-hmm. And it's pizza and 1,000 gallons of water. Mm. I'm exaggerating, but I suffer from migraines. There's lots of things that trigger them, and really you can like the triggers stack. So, you know, eye strain and, lack of sleep and, having something that's really salty or really fatty, you know, all of those things will combine. But, you know, I end up eating a lot of pizza because America is made of pizza, and you can just look to your left and look to your right, and you can find some place that sells you pizza. And, you know, if you don't have a dinner ready or whatever, you can always throw a pizza in the oven. So I end up eating a lot of pizza. And to mitigate that, I drink a lot of water with it, usually for like hours afterwards. And I find that if I can like sort of hydrate myself enough, sometimes I don't get a migraine after eating pizza. So just out of pure, and you know, water's good, I like water.
Water's good for you.
You know, almost anything else that I would have with a pizza would really contribute to it. I have a very complicated relationship with caffeine. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. So like a Coke would, you know, it just, I mean, you might just be adding to the problem. So yeah, for me, if I'm having pizza, then I'm going to go through like 7 or 8 like bottles of water afterwards so as to not die.
I wonder if that's a brand specific thing, because I've noticed that
it is.
That when you have a certain Red Roof pizza, you're super thirsty afterwards. And my kids, they get itchy. My wife gets itchy because they have, I don't know if it's a reaction to too much salt and stuff, or if they're just not drinking enough water. But another pizza place don't have that reaction to it.
It absolutely is. I find that the like Red Baron pizzas that we have a lot, those are a lot more likely to trigger it than say buying a pizza at Costco. You know, I haven't been very scientific about this, so it's not like I order from Domino's, eat it, and then like start timing
you
things.
You should.
I should, but you have to remember that what I'm time sort of what I would be testing for is a sort of pain that makes me really consider scooping out my eyeball with a melon ball.
Science, man. Science. This is like Nobel Prize winning science.
It would not be Nobel Prize winning science. It would be like me calling someone up and being like, hey, guess what I found out? And they'd be like, that is the most unscientific study I've ever heard of.
But here's my charts and my Gantt charts and my pivot point charts and all those kinds of things.
How many you say those filthy words?
How many test subjects? Like 100 or like, well,
no, you don't need a sample size.
100 pizzas.
Yeah, you could do 100 would probably be the best sample size, but I would say you could probably get away with 20 and then do a sampling of like the major fast food pizzas, the major frozen pizzas. So you're probably looking at maybe 30 pizzas. And then, you know, a sampling of like five like local indie pizza places. You'd have a good study.
This has already been a very tangential top five, but yes. I'm discovering as
it's the holidays, so we have to give people content.
Yeah. As my migraine adventures continue, that migraines are still this no pun intended giant blind spot in medicine. Like the current migraine medication that I'm trying now is an antidepressant, and the one that I was trying before was originally made to stop seizures. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my doctor, I'm like, well, you keep giving me like seizure medicine and antidepressant, isn't there just like a migraine medicine? And he's like, nope, because nobody knows what causes them. Yeah. There's no way to attack him directly. So there's all these other medicines that sort of work for some people. So let's try that. And don't operate heavy machinery. And if you have thoughts of suicide, you call me. I'm like, all right. That's great.
Oh, great. Great, great, great. Let's move on to my number four. This was one that I had to think about for a while, and then it hit me. And it really is a good food combination if you've had it or had the pleasure of having it. Angel food cake and champagne. I don't know what it is about those two. Maybe it's the sweetness of the angel food cake and the kind of fruitiness that goes with the champagne that really complement each other. But man, I've had this a couple of times and it is a great food pairing. You get a little sticky from the angel food cake, but then, you know, if you're drinking champagne, you better be eating your angel food cake with a fork and not just your hands like I used to do.
Just grab a hunk of cake.
Oh man, I used to do that as a kid. My mom would make me a giant one for my birthday, and next couple of days, I just walk by home, just yank off a piece and put it in my mouth.
Drink straight out of the bottle like we did for the 3 days after we got married and didn't have any food in the house.
Angel food and champagne, great combination.
Maybe what makes angel food and champagne so good is the combination of something really cheap and something really expensive.
Maybe. It may be.
Because isn't angel food cake just like eggs?
Yeah, basically whipped eggs. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
some firming agent. Yep. Speaking of firming... Speaking of firming agents, Matthew, let us get to your number three.
Firming agents sounds like the worst superhero ever. My number three, I expect to start a fight.
Who lives a life of danger? Firming agent.
Agent man.
Firming.
Agent man. You're firming up the batter and make it into a cake.
And drinking it with champagne.
That doesn't rhyme.
Yes. Number three.
Because the next lyric is, my number three is probably going to get me yelled at unless.
Oh, my number three is going to get us yelled at too. So
I think it's the same number three that you have, if I'm thinking what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I do know that while we occasionally butt heads, I don't know if you guys have listened to the show.
Never.
Spoiler.
Not once.
Steven and I do this thing where we're like, we're completely different. And every time I see this commercial on TV where it's like, yeah, they're not the same at all. Like you a ghost and me a spirit. And that's why I say my number three is a grilled cheese sandwich.
Nope. Not my number three.
A sandwich. It's a sandwich, right?
Yeah.
What you've done is you put the sandwich inside some bread. Usually what I do is I take the outside and I put some nice mayonnaise on it because then it crisps up really good. You get a nice crispy sandwich. And the thing that I drink with it is a nice thermos of tomato soup.
Yeah.
No. And you say to me, soup is a food. I'm like, no. I'm drinking it out of the thermos.
Yep.
That makes it a drink. That makes it a beverage, if you will. And there's really, in some cases, nothing better. I wouldn't take this to the beach in the summer. But if it's cold as heck outside and the, you know, the wolf is at the door and the wind is howling in your ears and the wind comes sweeping down the plains and la-di-da-di-do, I would say that a nice crunchy grilled cheese sandwich with, you know, the chewy inside and the stretchy cheese everywhere. I recommend a nice cheddar, maybe something really sharp in the cheddar neighborhood. And that tomato soup, oh, it's so good. It'll keep you warm. It's like that one commercial where the kid comes in and actually he's a snow golem because, you know, he's been attacked by Jack Frost. But then he slowly melts into a child and then you're like, that child has no soul because he's been eaten by a snow golem and then slowly melted on the living room floor. But nonetheless, he's happy because he's eating a grilled cheese sandwich and some tomato soup. And that is the rest of, I mean, my number three.
Yeah, no, that would not be my number three because while I do enjoy a good grilled cheese sandwich, I have not had tomato soup since 1979.
Mm. Is it one of those? Incident?
It is a puking incident.
That happens.
And that's also, you know, I don't drink flavored milks for the same reason. And to be honest, I don't drink, I can't remember the last time I had just milk in a glass by itself.
Well, your problem was having tomato flavored milk.
That was it.
That's just gross.
I think it was an accompanying food that went with the tomato soup that caused the reaction. But what came up looked like tomato soup. So I've never had tomato soup since 1979. The kids love it. The wife loves it. I'm just like, okay, you guys eat it. I will not have any of it. I'm not just saying it's bad for anyone. I'm just saying when you have one of those visceral reactions to food, you kind of stop eating that kind of food.
Can I just point out that in like 9 years of this show, Rodrigo and I seldom talk about the contents of our stomach, no matter how it exits. And yet we have like a lifelong parade.
There's only three really great vomit stories that I ever have. And one of them involves tomato soup and another one involves milk. So
if you combine it with your story about new parenting and Fruit Loops.
No, it's not. It's if you want another good puke story, it's
I don't.
It's 1 year old. It's 1 year old in Go-Gurt. So yes, but we'll get to those stories on another top five. But for now, let us do Rodrigo's number three.
My number three is a great combination, and one that I discovered while going to a summer workshop at Ohio State. As you know, Wendy's is based out of Ohio, so it's prerequisite that every food court in Ohio has a Wendy's. I ate at that Wendy's pretty much every day that I was there. And maybe it's because of the positive memories that I have of that time, but definitely having a double stack with a Dr. Pepper is something that I recall fondly, and I've had it recently, and it's still pretty good. So, yeah, my number three, a Wendy's double stack and a Dr. Pepper.
Very cool. Here's the controversy for my number three.
Okay.
I like ice cream. Mm-hmm. Ice cream is really good. I also like root beer. Root beer, really good. Put them together, ice cream float, my number three. Food combo.
Interesting.
Why would that be controversial?
My wife said, that's a drink. That's not a food and a drink. Actually, she doesn't talk like that. But
no. I was like,
but it would be funnier if
she's got a cold. She's got a cold. So today she's like, hey, you's over there. That's not a food drink. That's a drink.
That's... Steven, that's not a food. And would you feed the children already? Whenever the cold attacks, Steven is married to Tony Manero.
So yeah, my number three, ice cream float. There's something, and I don't have these very often. I have an ice cream float maybe once a year.
Yeah.
But there's something about that creaminess and the root beerishness all mixing together down in your tummy. It's like a good comfort food. It's like Matthew's cheese and tomato sandwich thing.
Yep. You want to try something real good? This year, my wife has rediscovered her, let's just call it midlife crisis because that's pretty much what it is. But my wife has rediscovered her childhood love of occasionally going and trying, you know, different types of beer. She brought me home some It's called Not Your Father's Root Beer, but yeah, it's basically an alcoholic root beer.
I've had it. The problem that I have with it is it's got too much of the licorice taste to it for my liking.
This one,
my dad loves it.
Didn't have the licorice, and it was really good if you poured it over some nice French vanilla. And oh, it's nice.
Yeah, they also have Nature Dad's ginger ale and something else too.
Yeah, it's like 7% alcohol, so you have your root beer float, and then you realize that you're talking like this for no reason at all. And the child laughs at you the whole time. She's like, "Why are you so stupid?" I'm like, "I don't know. This is just how a root beer float."
There you go.
And that's how it goes.
Yep. How about we get to our number twos? These should be number interesting. And Matthew, what do you have for your number two?
So, as you may have noticed, I am occasionally, whimsical, ephemeral. I'm occasionally, as I said of my dear friend Bobby, a weirdo. And so, for a while during college, I was experimenting with what actually counted as food. I've always had a complex relationship with food, and sometimes you have that thing where you're like, I'm going to eat this weird stuff just to be weird. I'm going to have like a kimchi cupcake with frosting that's made of bacon. And okay, yeah, fine, whatever. But for a while in the 1990s, when I worked at a small market television station, I would sit for hours and hours and hours, and I would literally have to watch Touch by an Angel and Walker, Texas Ranger. So I found ways to entertain myself. And one of the things that I would do would be color code my food. And so I would go, okay, I'm going to get a whole meal. I'm going to color code my food. And I discovered that only one of these combinations really worked.
Which is interesting because you're colorblind. So please go on.
I am red-green colorblind. But
yes,
this
so tomatoes and
orange.
Celery. Tomatoes and celery, man, you cannot tell the difference between those two.
Orange, and there's an orange meal that I love to this day that you could get at the Dillon's in Hayes for like dirt cheap. You go to the freezer section, you get yourself a box of pizza rolls, the all-meat pizza rolls. They're orange, right? And if you want to, you know, want to make things crazy, you can grab like some cheddar cheese to go with it. I wouldn't recommend it because the cheddar cheese kind of overbalances it to the sort of a squishy taste. But you get yourself a box of pizza rolls, you get yourself a little carton of orange juice, and you eat your pizza rolls and you drink your orange juice, and you eat your pizza rolls and you drink your orange juice, because the orange juice mixes really well, and you don't think about this, with pizza.
Now, wait, is this real orange juice, or is this like high C Tang kind of stuff?
I don't drink high C Tang kind of stuff. I get like, you know, the 2% orange juice.
Skim orange juice. Okay.
But you get yourself a bottle of just like, and I would just get.
So like low acid stuff, right? Low acid?
Just orange juice.
Okay.
It's juice from an orange. What you do is you get an orange, right? And you step on that mother, and whatever comes out, you pour it in a glass. That will give you the expectation. But you have the orange juice and the pizza rolls, especially the ones that are like all meat that have the little bits of what may have been a goat. I don't know what it is, but they call it meat, and it's definitely food. And it's got little bits of cheese, and it's got some crunch to it, and it's got some tomato. And that tomato and that orange really play well against each other. You get kind of a bright flavor fighting back and forth with the mozzarella cheese to kind of bring it down and give it a creamy element. It's really, really good, and I watch a lot of Chopped, so I can talk like this for hours. But the upshot of the whole thing is orange juice and pizza rolls would almost never go together if you were, you know, thinking about how am I going to make a meal. But if you accidentally do it, I guarantee you, you'll have a good time and your taste buds will thank you.
I would just think the acidity of the orange juice and the acidity of the tomato whatever stuff that they put in those things would just combine to an acid erupting hole in your stomach.
Well, both of those are true. I actually eat pizza with orange juice. That's one of, you know, and like my girlfriend was like, this is the weirdest thing. But you know, I convinced her by telling her that Barack Obama had invented it.
Right. Which really,
like, all right, I'll try.
You can convince your girlfriend of anything
pretty much. A lot of people.
Yeah.
So
parasailing, Barack Obama came up with that.
Both of those things are true. They do go great together, and I basically had to down a whole bottle of Tums yeah. immediately afterwards.
I will add the caveat that when I was doing this, I was 23 and now I'm 46 and I have not recently had pizza and orange juice together. So I'm not saying that it would burn a hole through your colon that just goes straight down into the ground, you know, like a reactor overheating. But I'm just saying it's good and you won't regret it immediately.
There you go. I'm curious about your color coding of food. Are you going just by the color of food, or do you say like sweet belongs in a pink category and spicy belongs in a red category? And I'm going to mix my food that way.
The color of the food, although in a pinch, you can use the color of the label, because they used to sell a little kit that was just a gyro. So it had a little bit of like lunch meat that kind of tasted like lamb and sauce that kind of tasted like tzatziki and bread that they was purportedly a pita. And you could put that all together. And that came in a box that was green. So that could be part of your green meal. So, yeah, you know, I was a weirdo. Now, not like now. Now, when I'm a perfectly normal state, you know, soccer mom next door kind of guy, I have, you know, tweed patches on the elbows of my leather jacket and drive around in a minivan. And you tell kids things like, don't do that. That's not good for the lawn.
Rodrigo, what do you have for number two?
My number two is something that I try to have as often as possible. And that is tacos and a Coke.
Ooh.
And I know that you, like, that sounds like a Coca-Cola commercial, but it is great. And I'm talking about your like relatively small corn tortilla, carne asada.
Mm-hmm.
My personal preference is carne asada and then onion, cilantro, and just like a squeeze of lime.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to me, the perfect taco.
And then you drink a Coke to wash the soap taste out of your mouth from the cilantro.
Yes, if you are one of the poor, unfortunate souls that have that condition, you would definitely use the Coke for that. You can literally eat this at almost any Mexican restaurant. So mm-hmm. and if you can't, that's a good sign that that's not a very authentic Mexican restaurant.
It's not really a Mexican restaurant.
They don't carry this.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to like the Taco Bueno, they're not going to have that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Got another side topic here.
Okay, let's roll.
When it comes to drinking like a Pepsi or a Coke,
mm-hmm.
which tastes better? Because I found that if I get a plastic container and I drink mm-hmm. out of it, Coke and Pepsi doesn't taste so good out of a plastic container. Likewise, drinking it out of the aluminum can or whatever the cans are made out of today also is not fantastic, but it's better than drinking it out of the plastic. I found that the best tasting Coke or Pepsi or RC Crown Cola, whatever that is your brown soda of choice, tastes best when it's poured over ice in a glass and not just like fountain drink stuff. I mean, you pour it out of the container into the glass with ice in it. And I think it releases a lot of the carbonation,
right,
and makes it taste better for some reason.
See, I have an issue with the aluminum or whatever, the gallium arsenide, whatever it is that they use.
The arsenic tainted
cans. The modern cans, because I always feel like I get a metallic taste out of a can.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I miss glass bottles, but that proves two things. One, that I'm old, and two, that there are different kinds of plastic bottles that you run into. They used to put Mountain Dew in a liter. You could buy just a liter of Mountain Dew and drink this stuff. And I was like, the liter bottle was fine. And then they made the smaller bottle and I didn't like it. But then they made the smaller bottle with a wide mouth, like a big mouth bottle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it tasted fine again. And I started wondering.
It's got to be the air carbonation combination.
It may not be the bottle at all. It may actually be the delivery mechanism, and maybe something is, you know, compressing all the carbonation into that small space, or other pseudoscience that I probably learned from an X-Men comic.
Yep. Yep. You know, if you go down the quote unquote international aisle at your local grocery store, you can find the Cokes in the glass bottles.
Yes, and I find it interesting that when you get the Coke in the glass bottles, people are like, this tastes better because it's got real sugar. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, that's legit. I understand that. But when you actually look at the ingredients, it also has the other sugars.
Yeah.
So it's got some real sugar in it, but it's also got like the arsenic, gallium arsenide and the sucralose and the sugar bombs, whatever it is that's in there. It's like, you know, just Molly, clean up the milk that you just spilled all over my kitchen floor.
Yeah, it's 2.5%. Use a mop.
2.5% milk. That's 2.5% of carpet that we're going to have to clean. Sorry. Lots and lots of side notes in this episode of Top 5 Ladies.
I mean, I'm intentionally doing this to cause Carl to have an aneurysm on this on this Thanksgiving day. Because, and really, for those of you that don't know, friend of ours, Carl, has been meticulously documenting our top five and cross-referencing. And I could say in this show, how many times has Steven talked about throwing up in a top five episode? And he can tell you in these five episodes, Steven has talked about puking, and he's threatened to do a top five puking episodes 3 times.
Yep. And how many times has Steven told the story that we're not going to tell now about the Fruit Loops?
It's not Fruit Loops. It's Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles. Yeah.
Okay. It's the same
thing. But here's what we will do. Here's what we will. Okay. We will get to my number two, which is really good. And again, it's something that my wife can't stand. She looks at me like I'm a weirdo when I do this, but it's really good.
That thing where you stand in kind of sun god robes on top of a giant pyramid and make the children throw little pickles at you?
No.
Okay.
I like fried chicken. Fried chicken is really good. Mm-hmm. But fried chicken is even better when it's cold. Cold fried chicken is like delicious. And I'm not talking about like soggy fried chicken. Like if you go to like a certain chicken establishment that has a Southern gentleman as their mascot,
bucket based
chicken, and you put that in the refrigerator and you pull it out, oftentimes that's going to come out soggy, especially if you do the extra crispy. It's going to come out soggy.
Yeah, you gotta eat that stuff fresh.
Yeah, no. There was a time, though. Oh. They don't make this anymore at the KFC.
Oh, God.
But they used to have, like, this barbecue sauce-covered chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delicious cold. It was, like, I mean, it was a lot less messy because the barbecue would coagulate up on your chicken piece. But it's so good. Yeah. But I like cold fried chicken and a near freezing glass of lemonade.
Ooh, yeah.
That is, I mean, talk about a summertime food. And I think this
and chicken.
I think this is why it became a big deal for me, is because for most of my childhood, and even up until, I don't know, I don't think I had central air until about 97 in any house that I used and was able to control it. Summertimes when it's hot, a delicious cold fried chicken and a glass of near ice cold lemonade was the best meal ever. But it's not the best meal ever because it's only my number two.
Nice.
Which means we have to get to our number ones to find out what is the best food and drink combination of all time. And we are going to start with Matthew.
Okay. I'm going to warn you. As with any top five that mentions this particular topic, there's a chance that I'm about to depress you. So stay with me. It gets better at the end. A long time ago, we'll call it the magical year 1986, right?
And I ran so far away.
The magical year 1986. I've referenced growing up with my grandparents. In the year 1986, I turned 15, and I said, no, I wasn't going to do that anymore. And so I moved out of my grandparents' house and moved back in with my late mother. And at that point in time, as I mentioned before, we had kind of a different idea of what was food in my grandmother's house. And so, you know, I didn't realize, for instance, that you could buy cereal in a box that had like cartoon characters on it. This was something that never happened in my house. I got I got cornflakes, and it was cornflakes in a bag, and it said on the front, it was a black bag with white letters that said cornflakes.
I was just thinking about this the other day. When I grew up, most of our food also was like that, in a white box generic. With black lettering.
Generic food, right?
Yes.
And so when I moved into my mother's house, I was stunned at the wide array of things that weren't just cornflakes contains flakes of corn. But I was also amazed by the fact that my mom always had in the house, you know, also, well, she also always had Doral menthol cigarettes. She always had Diet Cherry Coke in a can. And so I'm 15 years old. I've had soda. It's not like I've never had soda, but I didn't have tons and tons of soda. And so I wasn't really understanding the beauty and the wonder that is the subtlety of the 1980s Diet Cherry Coke. And I think at that point it was still using something that's illegal and will give you terrible diseases.
Red dye number five
and arsenic and gallium arsenide. Yeah. I believe it was, this was right about the time
and carbon
that
fibers.
They were doing. Yeah. Fiberglass actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right about the time that they were going over from, gosh, what was that stuff? It was in Tab and it was in everything.
Oh, aspartame.
Thank you. But before that, they had had something else that had a weird name, but they were making the aspartame transition. And when you got the Diet Coke, it was bitter. But Diet Cherry Coke was, I believe the word for it is ambrosia. That's the only word that really fits the situation. So you have this Diet Cherry Coke, and the thing that you get with it, I would go to the Mighty Mart. And behind the Mighty Mart, there was a little restaurant, and the name changed a lot of the restaurant, and the people running the restaurant changed. But strangely, the recipes didn't, and I suspect the food didn't either. So I think that they had food in the restaurant that had been there for like 50 years, just taking it out of the freezer and throwing it out, making it. They would make you a great big cheeseburger. And you would get that cheeseburger, and you would drink it with a Diet Cherry Coke that you got at the Mighty Mart. And it would be the best food ever when you're 16 years old. Didn't even have to be anything special. Nothing weird on the burger. Just like a burger with pickles and tomato. Sometimes you throw some cheese on there if you can afford it. Cheese was 40 cents extra. But something about just a hamburger and the Diet Cherry Coke is amazing. And I can't drink soda anymore. A couple of years ago, my innards just said to me, no, soda is no longer your friend. And they can't figure out which innards, because my gallbladder is fine and all of my, you know, internal hosing seems to be fine. But if I drink a soda, I basically wander around for the rest of the week like a hot air balloon leaking gas. And I can't sleep if I'm not lying straight up and down because I have shooting pains through my chest, which if you tell a healthcare professional, hi, my name is Matthew, I weigh 400 pounds and I have a shooting pain in my chest, you will end up spending a night in a cardiac ward. And that's just not worth the price of admission to just drink a damn can of Coke. So here's what I'm saying. First of all, Diet Cherry Coke was amazing in the 80s. I don't know if it is anymore. I don't even know if they make it anymore. And I don't drink soda. But if you get a chance and you can drink soda without pain, I recommend going and getting yourself a nice burger, however you like it, and a Diet Cherry Coke so big that it has an undertow, a 55-gallon drum of Diet Cherry Coke, and just drink that with your soda. And, you know, I'm sorry if there are any negative effects afterward, but you'll have fun while you're drinking it. You'll enjoy it. It's wonderful.
You know, we've talked a lot about Coca-Cola in this episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not a sponsor.
Have.
They could be if they wanted to, but I doubt it.
Bucks.
I doubt it because of what happened between me and Coke years ago, but that'll go unmentioned. But, you know, we'd still enjoy drinking Pepsi. I should mention the competition Pepsi. And one of my fondest memories was my grandparents always drank Pepsi out of the glass bottle, you know, the classic bottle.
Right.
They would go to the store and they'd have like, I guess you could buy them in like, what is it, 16?
Like you get like the quart bottle back in the day.
Yeah, it was just
glass,
like, yeah, it was glass.
Bottle.
It wasn't a big one. It's just like the individual serving, like you get out of the vending machine kind of stuff.
Oh, like the 12-ounce bottle?
Yeah, and they would have like, they're not a case, but they would come in like, I don't know. There's more than 12. So there must have been like 25 of them, like a little pallet. And they'd have a stack of those in their garage. And they would just drink those. They'd just drink those. And it was, kids didn't get to drink it too often. But I do have fond memories of drinking Pepsi out of a glass bottle. And I'm sure if there's one of our listeners out there who would have a connection to Pepsi, that I bet
could hook us up.
They could hook us up. just saying.
Up with some pep.
I'm just saying.
The thing, this is a thing, and this is a complete non sequitur, so I'm just going to roll with it because this is
what the title of this show should be. Top five non sequiturs and food and drinks.
And some food and junk.
Yes.
Pepsi always has to me kind of a vanilla note to it, whereas Coke has more of a cinnamony kind of note to it. So for me, it really depends on whether I want that kind of calming vanilla feel or whether I want the hateful death that is a cinnamon backburn in my soda when I would actually drink soda. And usually, now you're spilling yogurt on the floor. What are you doing?
Man,
don't ever have
milk and yogurt.
Spoiler, right?
Milk and yogurt. That is definitely your daughter's
number one
combination.
That milk and yogurt is what the widget drinks, and it's 2% yogurt.
Man, it's like water with yogurt.
The full fat yogurt is too much yogurt.
All right,
but nonetheless, I digress, and that's the name of our episode.
Number one, Rodrigo.
My number one is something that definitely is on my list because of positive associations, and that is it's a Chipotle burrito, usually steak, sometimes chicken, depending on how I was feeling, and Minute Maid lemonade, I think is what Chipotle has.
Yeah. And they have to put the little sign on there that says contains no
0%
juice.
Yes. And that is perfect. I am not fooling myself into thinking that this is in any way healthy.
Right.
When I was in college, we would go eat that before our vampire LARP. Now, just like a bunch of us would get together, eat there, and then we'd go play vampire. And, you know, that vampire LARP is pretty much directly responsible for Critical Hit, because I wasn't doing any serious like formal gaming before that, maybe some stuff online on chat rooms and stuff, but that was my introduction to these games come in books and you can like read this stuff and then you can run these systems that have already been created. And I was like, what an amazing idea. Who came up with this? It was Gary. That's great.
Gary Jackson.
Yep.
Am I that much older than you? I don't remember Chipotle being around when I was like younger. I remember Chipotle being like a turn-of-the-century thing for me.
Well, so I went to school very close to a major metropolitan area.
And so you're also implying that I live in the sticks.
You grew up in Kansas.
And also, you pointed out that in 86 you were 15. Right.
Yes. Right.
So I was 3.
Oh.
So that'll give you roughly the.
So you didn't run so far away. You actually crawled and didn't get very far at all.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. So for you, Matthew, when you're like, for some reason, I just remember Chipotle being around like at the turn of the century. Guess when Rodrigo was in college.
That's exactly right. My freshman year was 2001. So yeah, you're right.
I keep thinking of you as being like a couple of years younger than me, and like Rob being 10 years younger and Zach being 43 years younger.
Well, you might be right about Zach, but also Rob and me are about a year apart. So,
wow. You seem so much younger than you.
I do track older because I'm so grumpy. Right. That is generally why I also prefer to hang out with older people than me, because I just get tired of anything immediately. Somebody's like, hey, you can download movies now directly into your TV. That's great. Actually, I don't know if I like it. Actually, I hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
That's the best part about being in your 40s, because no matter what someone suggests to you, you can just go, sorry, we're closed.
It's like, you know what? I've seen that before. It's like, really? You've seen somebody like downloading movies directly into their brain? Something like that. This is exactly like what they were doing with, you know, theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
This is just Jaws 3D all over again.
So Chipotle was founded in 1993. For some reason, I was thinking much later than that. Wow.
Well, it became a world.
Yeah,
yeah, it spread out in the 2000s.
That's we only just got a Qdoba like 2 years ago.
Oh, Qdoba. The RC Cola of Chipotle.
of Chipotle.
it's the AMC Pacer of Chipotle. It's
what it is. I think Baja Fresh maybe.
So what's the Rolls Royce of Chipotle?
The Rolls Royce of Chipotle is actual Mexican food.
The Rolls Royce of Chipotle is just tacos de carne asada.
Yep.
We actually have a restaurant here in town that is on its fifth incarnation. The name keeps changing, but it's always orange with green trim. So you can always, first of all, I can always see it because it's green with orange trim to me. But more importantly, whatever the name is, you can always color code it and see. We're going to go there. Now I think it's called El Gallo. Previously, it was Los Fuentes. For a while, it was
Taco John's.
Los Charros, which is not to be confused with El Charro, which is different. It was this long and involved process. But I went there the other day, and they still have the food. And I'm like, this is good. This is food. I shall eat it.
Restaurants should have food, Matthew.
Yeah, and you could go there, and you could order the carne asada.
And you can pay them for it, too. Wow.
Yeah. That's really weird.
Here we go. Number one.
Okay. Number one.
By far. And again, I think this is specific to a particular kind.
What's the topic again?
Top five food and drink combinations.
Got it. I'm with you now. I'm back.
By the way, I did write down the top five band names from this episode, so we can talk about that later.
I love me some pizza. But
That's a great band name.
I don't like a big thick crust. It's got to be like a thin, like a cracker crust, and not a whole lot of sauce.
Sorry, but you know,
some pepperoni and some green peppers on there on a thin cracker crust. Oh, that's delicious. And if you're gonna have a delicious pizza like that, there's only one, maybe two things that would complement that pizza, and that's beer. Either in the pale ale or wheat form, but beer and pizza is an excellent combination, and it is my number one food and drink combo.
That is the first thing my wife said when I said food and drink combination. She's like, pizza and beer. And I'm like, have you ever seen me eat pizza and beer?
Well, you don't eat beer.
You do eat beer, depending on the beer.
No, I didn't say half percent. We're not talking about half percent watered down beer.
The skim beer is my favorite.
Skim beer. Gross.
I think that's called
Coors.
Oh snap. Fired. Oh,
or Budweiser. There's the other side of the aisle.
There goes our potential sponsor.
They would never sponsor us anyway. Boo. Well, they could if they wanted to, but I mean, you know, we're really right next door to Coors when you think about it.
Well, and we also, only 5 hours away. None of us can pronounce Anheuser.
Anheuser-Busch.
Anheuser.
Someday I will tell you a story, a fascinating story about
will it have poop in it?
No.
Okay.
But it's about my family's connection to Coors beer.
The Anheuser people?
I don't think so. I think it's more the Busch people.
But
I will tell that story another time, but we're out of time this time. Happy Thanksgiving, perhaps, everyone, if you're listening to this today. And if you're listening to this after Thanksgiving, that's fine too. Happy post-Thanksgiving. Or maybe you want to save this episode. Yes, maybe you want to save this episode for another Thanksgiving. Or maybe this could be your annual tradition. Every year you roll out the Major Spoilers Top 5 Thanksgiving Special Food and Drink Combinations. Granted, we didn't have B. Arthur show up. It's not Life Day. We don't have blue milk. But I bet if you head over to the comment sections at MajorSpoilers.com.
We could, yeah.
Yeah, you could have orangey milk. Just put that mac and cheese powder in with your water.
If you really want B. Arthur, I could just go, Blanche, that's ridiculous.
Here's what you guys need to do. You don't have to do it on Thanksgiving Day. Come on. You don't have to. But if you wanted to, you could. Go over to MajorSpoilers.com in the comments section. Please share your top five food and drink combinations. Because I bet people have some interesting ones. Maybe even some good ones. Maybe some tasty ones.
Skim milk and some potato chips.
Hey, you know what? We're going to read those lists. And everyone else is going to read that list. Because everyone loves a list. Happy holidays, everyone.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.